Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I'm your host for the podcast. And I'm just listening to that intro and I sort of think to myself, oh, come on, lady, just move it a little bit quicker. But it's meant to be calming and relaxing, even though sometimes I'm not calming and relaxing. But anyway, welcome aboard. That's that. Subscribe, like, share, whatever you need to do for the podcast. It is also a video as well. So we have the Art of Intuition show. But today's guest, talk about synchronicity or talk about the magic of the universe. Oh my God, I had my little meltdown this morning. And being an empath, I do tend to go, all right, you're not going to want to hear this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I do tend to go, oh, you silly girl. And I give myself such a hard time. And I don't usually say girl. I usually often will say swear words, but we won't go there. So when I saw Dr. Jane Tornator's interview that was coming up today, and I hadn't read about her or anything yet, I need to do my research before I came on. Oh, goodness me, she is actually going to be helping me. So I'm not going to say any more. Jane's going to actually explain it all to you. So welcome to the podcast, Jane.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so funny to hear you talk about your intro because I was sitting here going, I love that intro so much.
Oh, there's times where I think, come on, go faster. And then I go, oh no, we're meant to be omming. Okay, yeah. Chill.
Especially in this day and age, that calming. And I literally felt my system go, it was awesome.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. But I want to know more about you because, mate, I need a helping hand today. I've had a lovely little meltdown this morning. And I have to be honest, I really gave myself a hard time. But mm-hmm. How did you get to where you are now, Jane?
Well, precisely because I did the same thing and I still do the same thing. One of the things I talk about frequently with my clients is like, I frequently, when they say something that sounds silly when you hear it, and I say, well, who made up that rule? Like, who made up that rule that the best way to be better people is to beat ourselves up when we make a mistake? Like, who decided that was a good idea? Like, I really want to know who, because it's really so many of the things we learned on how to motivate ourselves do exactly the opposite. They actually make us feel worse. We feel deflated. We're like, oh my God, I gotta do that. Instead of going, wow, okay, so I screwed up there. Great, gonna figure out how to do it. Try not to do that again. But now I learned that, and now I learned what not to do. Like, how much better is that? You know, when we talk to ourselves that way, we feel kinder and we literally have more energy and we literally become the people we want to be versus, oh, what's wrong with me? Why did I do it wrong again? So, because that's what I learned to motivate myself and to be a better person, I had to unlearn it. And I learned a lot of tools to help other people unlearn it because I had to figure out what worked for me. And then I passed it on to other people.
Yeah, I know what you mean because it's so easy to slip back into that because, you know, things were going really, really fine and we're chugging along really nicely mm-hmm. and all of a sudden the wheels fall off or the wheels start to wobble. Right. And straight away you go on to the attack and if it's not somebody external, majority of times it's internal.
Yes.
And it's so horrible. But Jane, you're not just a Jane, you're a Dr. Jane.
I'm a Dr. Jane. Yeah.
Yes. So tell us about that. Like, did you studied? What have you studied? You know, I love this little stuff. So tell me all about it.
Okay. Well, I actually became a therapist because I was doing advertising in New York City And I was horrible at it. I was like really, really bad. And my sister dragged our family to see a family therapist. And she said, I'm here to put myself out of a job. And I'm working in advertising. I'm like, that's crazy. But she said, so when I help families and they become healthier, and then their kids go on, if they have families and they're healthier, and then if those kids go on to have families, they're going to be healthier. She said, pretty soon health spreads around the world and I'm out of a job. And I went, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to, make the world a healthier place.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, whoops.
Okay, we're just having a little bit of trouble then. We had a little bit of trouble with the audio and that. So that's what you want to do? You want to make the world a healthier place? That's all we got to.
Exactly. Yeah, that's where I stopped because I saw that little circle and went, I'm just going to stop talking now because something's trickling.
Cool, she knows how to work this, don't you? So you were actually in advertising and you left that to go and study, or you were working and studying at the same time?
No, I left. It was New York City. It was a very stressful place. And I went to live with my mom for a couple of years to earn money for grad school. And then I spent 10 years getting a separate master's and a separate PhD, along with a teaching add-on, along with a therapy add-on, along with elder working with elders add-on. And 10 years later, I finally graduated. Oh my God, it was a lot of work.
I went back to uni. I sort of did the same. I didn't go as far as you did, but I started to get to that stage where you sort of, I did this bit of learning. I did my degree, and then I went, oh, I actually enjoyed that. I might do my master's next. And I was heading down that path too. It's really, once you get into that education side of it, the learning side of it, you can really get caught up in it, can't you?
Oh my goodness. I knew I was finally done when after my last, I added three different things onto my PhD. And then when I finally was like, I think I'm done. That's when I started writing my dissertation. But yeah, there's so much to learn. I mean, like, human nature and psychology is fascinating. And if I would have known about neurology, I totally would have, or if positive psychology had been around then, I would have just gone to learn about that too, because the brain is so fascinating. I could study it endlessly.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is so interesting. Okay, so with this podcast, we are going to be talking about stop being so tough on yourself, and learn to accept who you are, which I guess I can accept some of it, the good bits. I'm aware of the not so good bits, but yeah. I don't know whether I honestly accept them.
Right. It's so hard.
Yeah.
See that little thing back there? It says, hold on, love you more.
Yep.
I was going to leave that, love you more. So I went to University of Minnesota for my PhD, and I went back there for a hypnotherapy training. And I saw that little sign in a store and I went, oh, I want that for my office. Because what I found in both in my own work and work with my clients is when we love ourselves as we are, the not likable bits as well as the awesome bits, you'll hear my cat scratching the rug right now. Yay. When we love ourselves as we are, we move faster to who we want to be. Like when we beat ourselves up, which is how most of us, or at least us perfectionists, learn to do it, we get there, but it's with so much stress and turmoil and resistance. But when we love ourselves, and honestly, Susan, I have a hard time loving parts of myself. So when I can't love them, I will say, I'll hold you, or I'll allow you, I'll welcome you. Because at some points I'm not ready to love that part because I've hated it for too long. But when I can say, literally, I say to my clients all the time, go, oh, hello, perfectionist. Or hello, I'm beating myself up, or hello, whatever it is that they're dealing with, then that's the first step. Because sometimes asking to love those really, I'm going to share something. Okay. When I was in grad school, I took a self-hypnosis class. And one of the exercises was to walk down a set of stairs, and usually, to a door. And so I was doing it one afternoon and I kept walking downstairs. And the stairs kept going. And this is a total tapping into my intuition, my inner knowing moment for sure. The stairs kept going, and I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't how the exercise works. The stairs, I go down one flight of stairs and there's the door. But no, I just kept going down. In fact, it turned into like, you know, those castle stairs that you're going in this down, round and round. And there were literally like sconces of fire on the wall. And I'm like, what is up? What's happening? I kept going down and down the stairs. And then finally I get to the door and I open up the door. And we were taught that in this room, only what you allow in there ever gets to be in there. Like this is a safe space to do the inner work you're there to do.
Yes.
So I open the door and there's a little girl and she turns to me and she's a monster. And I'm like, wait a minute, only what I allow to be in here is in here. And then all of a sudden it hit me because she had tears in her eyes and it just brings tears to my eyes now. She was a part of me that I hated. Like I hated this part of me. And I just saw that and automatically it hit me. And I went, oh my God. And I just hugged her and held her to me and said, I am so, so sorry. And, you know, she was a part I hated. And I saw literally that my beautiful intuition said, Jane, here's what you're doing. Here's what you're doing to this little part that is so hurt and so scared and so alone. And I'm like, got it. Thanks.
Yeah. So that gave me goose pimples. Right?
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, that's
my
amazing.
It's so good. Like the lessons it gives me are so clear and they're so wacky, but they're so clear. I'm like, got it. It's pain. I'm just hurting myself with every negative thought, with every negative message. I'm just like this little stab wound. I'm creating monsters. They're just hurt little parts. They're just hurt, scared little parts. And we create monsters in how we learn to deal with them.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That gave me goose pimples. That was so nice.
Yeah.
And so easy to do. Like, you know, I've done a lot of the meditation side of it. So I can see that going down the stairs and to the door. And yes, I totally get that the door's sometimes just not there and you've got to keep on going and keep on going. Deeper and deeper.
Yeah. Right. So yes, it is hard to love those parts and it's always a good idea.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Anytime we expend any kindness, even if it's like, there you are, just acknowledging sometimes starts that path toward eventually loving those parts, but it's hard. I mean, it's really, I remember 12 and 6 were really tough times in my life, a lot of trauma. And so I was, you know, the inner child work I was doing, it was for like 2 years I was working for 12 and 6. Anytime this really scary, awful feeling would come up, I'd go, how old does this feel? Oh, okay. And then I'd spend time being with it, loving it, da 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 da. Well, one time I was doing it and there was no resistance to it. I just saw it, held it and loved that part of me. And after doing that, I was like, wait a minute, I've been doing this for 2 years and I was subtly resisting it because I was loving them to get them away, to get them to go away. So they go away. I'm going to love you so you will leave. Right. So yeah. I wasn't really, really loving it. Right.
Yes.
I had to get rid of it.
There was a motive behind it. The wrong sort of motive.
Right. And finally, after 2 years, I finally was able to just be with it and love that part of me. And I'm like, oh, that's the goal. And it felt completely different.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. All right. I'm going to throw this one at you now.
All right. I'm ready.
All right. So I'm having my meltdown and mm-hmm. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
And I know what can be done. Like, know it all. Right. You know, absolutely.
None of it's gone. Yeah.
And here I am, a blubbering mess, crying my eyes out in the shower, rah, rah, rah. How can I go? Hang on, just step back. What is something that can trigger it? When you're feeling these emotions, when you're experiencing them, it's really hard to remember those sort of things. It's really hard to sort of go, oh no, now you're supposed to sit cross-legged and touch your fingers together and breathe, you know, and you sort of go, WTF, you know.
Yep.
I'm ready to kill somebody.
Right, I know.
I'm not sure who.
Why me? I'll start with me.
How, while we're experiencing them, how can we, I don't know, what's that switch? What's that moment that we can sort of go, I mean, I got there eventually,
yeah.
But I would love, I don't know, a trigger that great. Sort of makes me stop wallowing in it and look a little bit differently.
Okay, great. Great question. So the thing I always do when I'm just losing it and I'm overwhelmed and none of my tools are available, I literally put my hand on my heart. Because for me, I don't know where other people's intuition is, their inner knowing, but mine's here. Like, this is what speaks to me when I have my intuition. Some people, it's their gut. So wherever it is on you that your sense of safeness and your intuition is, I put my hand on my heart, both hands, and go, wow, I'm hurting. Like, I just say what is happening in the moment. And Susan, it is so funny when we say what is happening, even if it's not pretty, wow, I really want to kill somebody, right? If we're saying what's really true, our system automatically calms down.
Yeah.
Like, often we take a deep breath. Yeah, I really do want to kill somebody. We're with what's happening. We're not resisting it. We're just with what's happening. I just read, like, I was just in Mexico, and even though my intuition told me not to, the friend I was traveling with said, we had a layover in LA to go to Mexico. She's like, oh, let's just check our luggage through. And I'm like, I don't know. That makes me a little worried. I kind of like to pick it up and then take it with me and then drop it back off the next day. And she's like, no, we'll save time this way. And I'm like, okay. Well, our luggage didn't arrive for 2 days, right? And then the cash machine ate my card. So it was not a good start to the trip, right? And I was like, oh, and you know, I'm a therapist and a coach and I practice meditation. I'm all doing this self-love thing. And I'm just like, you know, I'm just not a happy camper. And then serendipitously, I read an email from one of my favorite people, Matt Kahn, who said, self-love is not loving what's happening. It's not loving the experience. It is loving that part of you that's resisting. Right? Oh. That part of you that's melting down, the part of you is like, I want it to be different. So when we say, wow, I'm really hurting. I want this to be completely different than it is. Then that automatically takes our nervous system down a notch. Now, the second thing I always do, which sometimes is hard and sometimes not, is if I can be curious, if I can bring any bit of curiosity in, that taps into our mirror image, that taps into our right brain. Our right brain is present moment, it's things are good, no problem, no judgment, it's happening. Oh, let's experience this event, right? Curiosity triggers our right brain. It brings it on board. So if there's anything you can be curious about, like, wow, I can barely breathe, I'm so stressed out. Wow, I'm like wanting to cry. What does that feel like? If we can bring any bit of curiosity, our right brain comes on board. Because there's this great book called Whole Brain Living by Jill Bolte Taylor. Oh, it's so awesome. I think if everybody in the world read this book, we'd be a better world, right?
What was it called again, Jane?
Whole Brain Living.
Oh, okay. Whole Brain Living. Yep.
Yep. By Jill Bolte Taylor. And she talks about four parts of our brain, four characters. The left side, when we are triggered, which is what we are when we're overwhelmed, when we're melting down, we're completely triggered. Then we're in the little two character, which is the part of our brain that is always scared. And it's always looking for how what's happening now has happened before and how we're going to die, right? It's going to be awful. This reminds me of what happened before. It was awful. It's awful. And we feel all alone, right? That's our little two character.
Yeah.
Just for completeness, I'll go through the other four. The one character, the left side of the brain, is the part that we use when we're working, we're figuring stuff out, we're prioritizing that stuff. It's the part that gets things done, right? It's also the judgment part. It's the part of like, you got to do this. What are you doing reading a book? You got to work on work. You got to vacuum. You got to, well, it's great for getting stuff done. It's kind of a taskmaster. We don't run it. That's the part never gives us breaks. The number three, or mirror, I'll just do it on my side. The number three is the right feeling brain, which is total present moment. It's like, if you're on the water, the example Jo Bolte Taylor gives is she loves being on the water. And so if she's on the water during a lightning storm, the little number three character is like, oh boy, lightning, let's see what happens, right? It's not the part that's really worried about our safety so much. It wants to experience whatever it is. Yep. The right feeling, thinking brain is, for lack of a better word, I'll just say God consciousness. It's the part of our brain that's everything is one, everything is good. There's no judgment. There's no problem. It just is. And we're all okay. Right. So when you tap into curiosity, you tap into that little three, oh boy, things are happening, or the we're good. It's all good. You'll be fine. You're fine now. In fact, you're already fine now. So just breathe. Right. So hand on heart, and then curiosity to tap into that right brain. And the right brain is a lot better when we're dealing with chaos and crisis and meltdown than the left brain. The left brain is just going to be like, it's awful and I'm alone and it's never going to work ever. It's not a place where we've got tools. Right brain, we can access the tools.
Okay. All right. So the first trigger is then doing something physical, like putting your hands on your heart. Because definitely hands on heart is where I tend to go. Yeah. So that's our first sort of trigger. That stops, and then we start to think, why are we feeling this? What's going on? How are we going? That curiosity.
Yes.
Acknowledge it. Yeah.
Yeah. Acknowledge it. And really, if you can focus on the physical sensations, that also quiets the brain down.
Okay.
So literally the physical sensations, it also is a subtle way to accept it. Ooh, so what does this anxiety feel like? Oh, it's going around. And like when I work with my clients, I ask them what color it is, if it's a shape, if it's moving, if it's heavy or light. So that gets them curious about it. Our brain quiets down. It's a subtle, it's a tricky way when we don't love something. It's a tricky way to get us to pay attention to it, right? So it's a sideways way to learn to accept it. So when we pay attention to the physical sensations, the feelings move faster. So Jo Bolte Taylor and other research has shown this also, but when we have a feeling, when we're triggered, if we just pay attention to it for just like feeling it and let it do its thing, our neurochemical response is done within 2 minutes, like 90 seconds to 2 minutes. If we don't interfere by going, oh, I don't want to feel that. Or like, yeah, I should feel that because they're jerks and they shouldn't, like, we're feeding it or resisting it. Both keeps the feeling around. If we're just like, oh, wow, this feels really intense. Oh, now my gut's coming in. Wow. And now my shoulder. Wow. Now my shoulder hurts. Right. When you can go there, you go to curiosity. And you quiet your brain because you're just allowing the feeling that your body to do what it's naturally built to do, which is you feel it and it passes through. And one of my favorite sayings is feelings are feelings. They're meant to be felt. They're not stuckings. We aren't like, let's get really stuck, right? And you notice if you're resisting your feelings, we tense up. We literally contract. We stop the process from happening. If we relax, hand on heart, it's what a deep breath does too. We allow our body to use its natural wisdom and let the feeling pass through.
I love that. And I love how you said you're either holding it down or you're feeding it.
Yes.
Because I'm a feeder. I'm a real good feeder.
Right? Yep. All sorts of reasons why. Now here's can I tell you the story about how I came up with that model? I call it the feelings model. So one day I had scheduled a massage. All right, bought a massage package from an acquaintance of mine, and I got 3 massages. I got one, which is great. And then I forgot to schedule the other ones. And it was a 6-month package. And one day I'm sitting in my living room and I'm like, wonder when that massage package is up. So I email her and she said, oh, next week. And I'm like, oh no. And I looked to see where she was open and where I was open. And I'm like, yeah, nothing. Like there's nothing there. So I got really mad. I got mad at myself. Jane, you shouldn't have gotten 3 massages. That was stupid. Well, I didn't know. I thought I was going to use it. And then I was doing this thing of going, yeah, well, she should have let me know. Like, it's her job to let me know that my package is on legacy expired, right? Like, yeah, she should have let me know. It's her fault. No, it's not actually her fault. Stop being angry. And so I noticed that I was feeding it and repressing it. Like, I was doing both.
Yes.
And then I was just walking around going, feeding and repressing. And then I went, wow, I'm just really angry. And in my family, anger was not good. So I learned not to feel it. So I was really feeling, I was like, wow, I'm just angry and I don't want to feel it. So I'm repressing it and feeding it. Like, the feeding is, repressing is like, it's not okay to have. The feeding is another subtle thing we learned of, it's not okay to have. But if people did things, if people screwed up enough, it's okay to be angry. It's not just like, I'm just angry. It's like, yeah, I get to be angry because they're stupid and they're stupid and they're stupid and they're stupid. Right?
You justify it, don't you?
Exactly. Versus, oh my God, I'm just angry. So I finally realized after like 15 minutes of, I'm like, I'm just angry. So I went and sat on the couch, put my hand on my heart and felt where my anger was, where it was in my body. And I was just super curious. And 5 minutes later, because I've never gotten to the 2 minutes, just full disclosure, right? 5 minutes is the fastest I've gotten with an intense emotion. And 5 minutes later, I was like, all right, well, if I ever get a package again, schedule all of them right away. Now, here's the really cool part about that story. About half an hour later, she emailed me and she said, if you want to extend that, I'm totally happy to. And I'm like, oh, yes. And I scheduled both massages right there. So that's how I came up with the feelings model.
But it makes so much sense, doesn't it? When you have that understanding, you have that knowledge and you have that learning, you can turn around and go, well, what's going on? What is going on? Am I suppressing it? Am I feeling it? Am I feeding it? What's going on?
Yeah. And those questions right there, Susan, curiosity. Yep. You're bringing on your right brain with those questions. What am I doing? Yes. Am I feeding it? Like, you're literally bringing more of your brain on board to deal with it.
Yeah. Instead of going, oh yeah, but you know, and thinking about, but, and bringing all that other stuff in with it and having a situation where it may have been, like you say, your packages, you may have run out of your packages and you've not booked it. But all of a sudden you start bringing in, oh yeah, and great grandmother, she did this and this happened. And how often do we, I mean, I do it all the time. When I'm having a shitty day, I bring everything else with it just so we've got this lovely, lovely big pile of you know what.
Now here's something. It sounds like you're judging yourself for that. It's like, yeah, and I bring all this, what's wrong with me? There's a subtle kind of judgment with what you're saying.
Yes.
But here's the thing. This is how our brain works. There's a theory, it's not a theory, it's how it works. Neurons that fire together wire together. It's like Hebb's law, basically, is what it's called. Basically, when you are, like they've done studies, when we're depressed, the memories that are associated with depression come online. Like if you're depressed, all the other depressed memories are lighting up going, hey, we're here, we're ready. You want to think about us too? When you're happy, happy memories come on board. Right? They're like, oh, you're happy. Oh, now we're here for the show too. So literally when you're triggered about something, old triggers are in your brain are coming on board saying, we're ready. This is what's going on. We're here. We're ready. We're on board. We're with you. Let's go. Right? So it's not a personal failing that this stuff comes up when we're triggered. It's how the brain works. But curiosity in the present moment can say, okay, yeah, this is happening. Actually, grandma's been dead for 50 years. So this probably isn't about grandma. I mean, like things associated, but grandma's not here, right? So it can bring us back to the present moment to deal with whatever we're dealing with. And I hate this word, but I can't think of another one. Let me know, Susan, if you can think of another word. In like an appropriate manner. Like one of the things I always ask my clients and myself a lot is when I'm reacting really strongly to something and I'm like, yeah, this reaction feels a little strong for what just happened. Then that always tells me oh, I'm bringing something from the past along for the ride. This isn't about this thing. I'm bringing grandma in too.
Yes.
Since grandma isn't here, maybe I'll just come back to what's here, right? But our brain naturally brings grandma along. Here's the good part about that, though. If grandma neurons are firing and we're in the present moment going, okay, so this is really hard. I'm having a tough time, but you know, I'm okay. I'll figure this out. I don't know yet what I'm going to do, but I got capability. I'll figure it out. Something, especially if we, you know, trust our intuition and you let our intuition help us and lead us. It's like, it'll be okay. I got this. I've done stuff like this before, like grandma. It's going to be fine. The good news is because the grandma neurons are firing, our present moment okayness, our present moment safeness also rewires those old memories. Because neurons that fire together, wire together. If I'm like, wow, this is really hard, but you know, I'm okay. I'm not dead. I've got capabilities. I've got things I can try, right?
Wow.
That I'm okay will also travel along with those old memories. And then subtly, those memories will become like, wow, that was really hard. But you know, I always knew I was going to be okay, which you didn't at that time. But yep. The more you have this current trigger related to that past trigger, and you're like, okay, this is hard, but I'll make my way through this one too. Those past memories become, it was hard, but I knew I was going to make it through. I made it through. I was fine. Isn't that brilliant?
You're actually changing those past memories.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
And then they're starting to fire at a different time when it's not so, it's not going to create those big dramas like from exactly. Stumping your toe to the world's falling apart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that is amazing.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Hang on, before we go any further, Jane, I've got to say, Jane's website is everydaylove.me. I love that.
Isn't that a great
name? HTTPS, you know, and your slashes and everything else. But everydaylove.me is the website.
Yeah.
So that's
that was a download. That was a total intuitive name that came to me.
Wow, because .me's only not long been out. You know, we had the .coms and the .. We have .au at the back of ours because it's Australian business.
Yeah.
But yeah, the .me's not been along around, so that's worked out perfect for you.
I know, right? And .com was like $3,200 for the name, and .me was like $35.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm like,
and it's better.
It's better. I know. Yeah. That was a total, you know, serendipitous universe supporting me kind of moment.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
But while we're talking about that, because I've just taken that off the screen, and for the people that are actually listening on the podcast, you actually have a free offer. Now, I don't know what this free offer is like, but guess what? I've downloaded it. I'm going to have a look.
Yay!
I love doing this. The people, the guests that I've had on the show, you know, we all have our own little ways of doing things and bringing things forward. And what suits me may not suit the next person. So it's lovely to get some of these offers and these tools and go with it and run with it. And I'm quite looking forward to having yours and go and have a little play with it as well. So if you want that, now this one's a little bit different because this is the offer is at everydaylove. Now is that Simplero?
It's simplero.com/body test method. Now that if you link it below, you can just link that. Now here's a simpler version because nobody's going to remember that. I just did everydaylove.me/body test.
Body test. Okay.
Yeah. And that'll take you right to that really long link, the Simplero.com.
Yeah. Well, the link's going to be in the description down the bottom anyway, so people will be able to get to there. But give us a little bit of a hint on, no spoiler alerts because I want to do it, but give us a little bit of a hint on the this body test method for your intuition, because that sounds so fascinating.
Oh, it is. It's so... Actually, I'm going to do a spoiler alert because it's so simple, Susan, that I can't say anything without giving a spoiler alert. And that's what I love about it. I love simple things because I make things very complicated in my head. So basically, it was my way to help use my intuition to help me make decisions. Because I don't know about you, but I literally, and I'm not even kidding, if I had to make a decision, I would ask five people what they thought I should do. Like, How helpful do you think that was? Because, you know, I had five different ideas. So I'd literally like, what do you think I should do? What do you think? Because I had no trust in myself. But when I was writing my dissertation, I was like, there are a lot of unhappy people around, like including in my department. And like all the students were either on antidepressants or anti-anxieties. And I'm like, you know, this learning is really good stuff, but there's got to be something more. So I decided to learn about my intuition. But I didn't know quite how to listen to it. Like, I didn't know how to, you know, like, oh, just listen to your intuition. I'm like, yeah, but how? Yeah. So I tried the pendulum, but for, I don't know about you, but pendulums for me, some people love them. They don't work for me. My pendulum goes like this. This is what the answer I always get. So what I
did learn. Usually because of the question you're asking too. Are you aware of that?
Yeah. Oh, no, I wasn't. No, because I didn't know anything. I'm like, what do I do? So what I came up with, and I can't remember if someone told me or if I came, like literally it was like 25 years ago. So I don't remember at this point. It could have been from somebody else. But what I do is I stand up with my body very loose. And then I say, because I was just learning it, I said a statement that is true and the statement that is false. For me, when I'm working with my clients, I say, stand up, body posture loose, and say, my name is, and for me, my name is Jane. And then notice, close your eyes and notice what your body does. Mine moves forward with a yes. Some people, they get lighter. Some people get more grounded. It you know, just for each person, notice what your body does with yes. And then I ask a no question, or I say a no statement. My name is Ralph. And then literally my body will go backwards. And once again, for people, notice what your response is. So then you have got your yes and no. And I did that for a couple months to see if it would change. Mine hasn't changed, so I don't do that part anymore. I just know my yes leans forward and my back leans no. My no leans back. So then I say, when I'm trying to figure out something, and it can be as simple as, should I buy this program? Well, it's not so simple. Should I take a walk? Is it for my highest good to take a walk? And I always like to say for my highest good, because in my way of thinking, my view, if it's for my highest good, it's for everyone's highest good. Because my highest good isn't going to screw somebody else over. That's not what highest good is. So I like to say, think whatever I do, whenever possible, I try to do it for the highest good. So I say, it's for my highest good to go for a walk today. And then I'll just notice what my body does. Now, what I love about this is sometimes I listen to it and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm like, I don't want to go for a walk, even though I said yes, even though my intuition said yes. Now, what I've done over 25 years, sometimes I listen, sometimes I don't. But what I found is I've never regretted when I listen to my intuition.
Yes.
But sometimes when I don't listen to it, I don't regret it. But sometimes I do. But never, ever have I ever been like, oh, I shouldn't have listened to my intuition. Right? Never.
So
that's what's really helps me, because sometimes my answer is not the one I want to hear. But I'm like, I've never regretted listening to my intuition, so I'm going to do it. Or sometimes I'm like, that's crazy. Why would I do that? I've never regretted listening to my intuition, so I'll just do it.
Yes. And really it's all about, what you're doing, because what we perceive, even when you're asking a simple question, what we perceive, if you've got a yes, it's like, well, I've got to do it this way.
Right?
No, but that's when you sort of go, no, I've got to. But it's amazing how something different will come up and it'll go, oh, well, actually, I can do it this way. That's better.
Right?
Because you've taken that step to go, I will follow it. I'm not sure what I'm doing, but I will follow it.
Exactly. Yeah, and then it just appears because we took that step.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And the other aspect where I sort of talk about a lot with my stuff is the first thing you need to do after you've got an understanding what you want, you're acknowledging it, but the first thing I say is you've got to ask. And that's exactly what you're doing. You're standing there and you're asking and you're getting that support. So it's lovely whether it's a forward or a back or a side motion, whatever motion it happens, you're getting the support. You're getting that acknowledgement because you've asked and you're open to receiving.
Yes, Exactly. And I love that you said open to receiving, because sometimes I'm not. Like sometimes I keep asking, like I ask 4 or 5 times and then my intuition is like, dude, we already told you. So I'll be like back and forth. And I'm like, oh.
You're sitting there shaking.
Exactly. Because I'm not listening. So it's like, if you're not listening, forget it. I'm done. Right.
It's so true. I used to do it with the cards and I'd go, all right, now this time I want a really clear yes or no. None of this whooshy stuff. I want yes or no. And in this deck of cards that I had, it was like 57 cards or whatever. There was one yes and one no. All the rest were positives, or you could have had negatives. One yes, one no. Did the shuffle, out it comes, there's a yes. And you know what? I still went, oh, are you sure? 57 cards. How can you get it so clear, so succinct, and then still question it? Like, come on, girl.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's our ego. That's the part that doesn't want anything bad to happen. And if you don't know what's going to happen, the ego is like, well, just don't do it. Right.
So do nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I love that you're doing this podcast, because our intuition is it doesn't always say yes, but it is the kind of yes to living our life, right? And our ego is mostly no, 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 no. Don't, it's going to hurt. People are going to make fun of you. People are going to laugh. No, 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 no. And our intuition is our yes to life. And our ego is our no to life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes to living a no to life. I totally get that. There was something else I was going to say, and it's just, I've just lost it. Oh, I loved how you said for the highest good.
Yeah.
Like, because it's a positive straight away. It's a positive. And even if you do get a no answer, which you feel could be a negative, it's a positive because you've put it out there. You've asked that question in a positive manner.
Yeah.
And that is just, that's gold. Love that.
Yeah. I do too, because who doesn't want for positive, for the highest good? Yeah. And especially women are taught that we have to put ourselves last, and that wanting for ourselves is selfish.
Yes.
Like, this is one of my, like, who made up that rule? Well, it's a stupid rule. Like, no, you can put everyone else first. Oh my gosh.
Well, somebody used to say to me, but who's they? And because I'd say, well, that's what they say. Who's they? And I'd go, oh, right. Okay. Who's they? I know. And it just makes you think, doesn't it? Yeah. It snaps you out of that. Mm-hmm. Progression of similar thoughts and adds another element to it. Yeah. But I love the idea of if you're feeling in that way, if you're feeling emotional or you're feeling angry or whatever it is, and just to acknowledge that, put your hands on your heart, acknowledge it and start thinking a little bit different, how that is not just helping you in the here and now, it's actually helping you in the future by healing your past. Yeah. It's just magic.
It is magic. Our brain is magic. Present moment is magic time.
Yeah. So I love that. Mm-hmm. But we are getting low on time, and not for me. I could sit here and talk to you all day. I love this. But yes, I try to keep everything succinct.
And 6 hours later,
still jogging. Is there anything else you want to put forward? Anything else you want to say before we do have to say our goodbyes?
One of the things I just love, it's on my business card back when, you know, I used to be able to go outside and go to group events, is love yourself now. You don't have to wait. There's nothing to wait for. I'm a perfectionist, which is why my book is, you know, everything is perfect, just not me. But when we love ourselves now, like that love you more. It's like, we don't have to wait. We always are waiting to be better, to be more perfect, to be more this, to be less that. But loving ourselves now in the present moment gets us there faster. So love yourself now. You don't have to wait for anything.
And you have got a book. Is that on your website?
It is on my website. Here, I'll do it for the people who are watching. I'll do a visual. It's just a tiny little book, but it's simple little practices. Everything is perfect, just not me. A roadmap for self-acceptance. Oh, that's better. Yes. Oh,
that's beautiful. Okay. Yeah. Everything's perfect, just not me. A roadmap for self-acceptance.
Yes.
And it is on your website, which is everydaylove.me.
Yes.
Yeah. No, not you. Me. No, love me.
Not you. Love me. Love me.
That's God. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really enjoyed that. It went so quickly.
I did too. Thank you so much. I'm glad I wasn't asleep.
You can go and have your rest now because it's very late in your area. And look, Jane, I would love to have you back on again.
So, I would love
that. In a couple of months' time or whatever, I'd love to. There's some people that I just want to stay connected with, and I love your energy. You're one of them.
Yay!
Thank and you. I love your name because it's so similar to mine.
Your what? What's
your name is so similar to mine.
I know. I was like, I'm going to remember that name. Yeah. And what's really funny is my sister's name is Susan.
Oh, there you go. Wow.
Yeah.
It's very synchronistic.
Very.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I'll have to do the goodbye bits. I'm going to get comfortable on my chair and I'll go and do the goodbye bits. Stay there because I've got to chat with you when we finish. Won't be sick.
Okay.
Okay, so it's just me and, yes, we've done this. Hey, guys, wasn't that wonderful? It's really fantastic to learn these little methods and get these different understandings because how I do it could be so different to how you want to do it. And this using your body to actually feel what your intuition's saying is just gold. It is so good. It's almost like kinesiology, but this is just simple, easy, and you can do it anywhere. You'd be standing in a line and sort of waiting in a queue and thinking, I wonder if they're going to actually have what's left by the time I get there. And you could actually get your answer and go, okay, well, they're not going to have any left. I'm going to go now. Because you're just really starting to hone in on what you know. But that was amazing. Jane is so cool. I've got definitely going to have it back. But anyway, that's me. Like, share. What else? Yep, subscribe to the podcast. We are on the YouTube show as well. And I will see you all next week. Okay. All right, guys, thanks so much. Bye for now.